I'm Raph.
And I'm Raph.
We're Raph.
Raph Farisco of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. That's Raph Pizarro of Calcio Napoli Club. Just rant about Napoli.
Let's go for it.
We're going to rant. We're going to match report. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about topics. You leave comments and we'll read your comments out, question.
All right. Quick stats.
Yes. Throw the stats up there. On to a nice little segment that we're going to call the Beast of the Match.
The who is beasting it for the Napoli team? Let's see.
But follow us on Facebook. Raphael Rispo, Ralph Pizarro, Twitter at RafaNapoli83. That's me.
CNCUSA26.
I want some feedback to the show. What do you guys want to see? What do you want to see more or less of? This is going to be a show for you guys, too. I want a lot of comments.
We want to rant about something. Let us know if you want us to rant about something.
I promise you, we're not going to agree on everything all the time.
We won't.
We're going to yell at each other every now and then.
Come and rant. This is what it's for. We want to give you a space to let loose so you can do it here.
Well, that's going to do it, Ralph. You know, were we boring enough for you?
I don't know. I think we were great.
Let's get to it.
Madonna do Carmen, aiutici tu.
And benvenuti, fellas and bellas all over the world. Welcome to another episode of the Raph and Raph Rant. I am Raph Pizarro, joined by my co-host, the Vicar of Vesuvius, Rafa Rispo. And joining us today, the Canadian contingency here, we have the famous Marco, a.k.a. Cubani, from Far From Vesuvius. Welcome, Marco. How are we doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm live from my tomato garden. You know, it's Pomodoro season. So
it's Pomodoro season.
Yeah, you know, it was Sugo Saturday on Saturday. You know, we had to make the jars. And they're actually coming out pretty nice. So if you guys need anything, let me know. I might have too many for my own good. How are you guys, though?
Send me a case. We're good. We're good. Welcome, Johnny, to you as well from the Coucher guys. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing really well. I had a nice, beautiful plate of pasta. I'm ready to go. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Was the sauce from Marco's tomatoes, or it was
just I don't know. If it was, that was a pretty quick delivery, but
it was right.
Like, no, it was actually a bechamel sauce with veggies and stuff. It was really good.
Oh, very nice. All right, you got to make it for me one day. I'm gonna.
Oh, my step Zia showed me the recipe. It's perfect. I'm gonna probably make it very often.
Marco will have a little caprese in the yard.
Anytime, man.
Good. Looking forward to it, guys. Welcome to everybody in the chat. Thanks again for joining us. Let's get this rant on the road, guys. Rafa, how we doing today, man? Good to see you as well.
Good, man.
You got some new drip on? Did I know? I got some new drip on too. You know,
it's new old drip. I got this a while ago, but I figured I'm going through my closet. I'm like, what am I gonna represent with today? You know, obviously I can't wear any of this stuff out. If I stand up, it's a you know. Shut your eyes sort of deal type deal. I'm sort of holding my breath in for the day. this is the district kit. You know,
Francesco noticed it.
Right. Oh yeah. Fran knows.
He's always got those eyes.
He's always got them. Yeah. I would like to say, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ralph. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I would like to say that, I've seen what Napoli's kits are like. It was a concept mock-up, but based on information that we know,
right?
By Tutte de Maglie, or I think that's the name of the account on Twitter. And if you know, I think we've all seen it. And if that's something close to what we're gonna have, then I tweeted this out. I'm buying every single kit. I don't care how much it costs.
Nice.
I'm getting them because they look really, really sweet. And so you know, in a few days we'll be able to see that. Couple days before the season starts, that'd be nice.
Guys, we have another red lethe versus gold lethe debate type of thing.
How you guys feel? Let's start there then. How you guys feeling about that new that sneak peek possibly of those drips? Like, do you think that those drips? Well, that type of drip, those kits will be worth the wait, Marco. What do you feel like? Is that something you?
They're
buy?
Fresh. If they are what we've seen, they're very classy. I like that. But at the same time, do I trust Napoli to deliver at this stage? Probably not. I mean, we're less than a week out before the season starts, and we still haven't seen an official jersey, right? Like, that's a problem to me, especially during a time when teams are really hurting for money. And I know Napoli's in a pretty decent situation, but it's still COVID. Teams are still having issues, you know, and marketing wise, it's been a complete disaster. So I'm a little pessimistic when it comes to that.
All right. What about, I'm sorry, Ralph.
No. Go ahead, Johnny. You chime in.
Oh, I was just going to say, actually, I can't even chime in properly because I haven't even seen the concept yet. Today on Twitter, the only time I went on was when everybody was going through that whole Ronaldo PSG rumor scandal thing. But besides that, I haven't been on Twitter all day. So until now, to help.
It was like, it almost looked like this, but without all this, it was pretty. It's something you'd wear to the club, I feel.
Yes, right? Exactly. It's 100%.
Right. Some of you, it's not the Inter snakes on a plane kit. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that shit.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson on the back type of thing.
Right. We're not going to have like a giraffe on it or any other freaking animal from the wild. It looks like an Armani t-shirt, basically. But
nice.
But that's okay for some people, I feel like. Rafa, I know you wanted to chime in on there, dude.
No, Johnny, you're not on your phone broadcasting, right?
I'm on my laptop. I can pull up Twitter quickly if you tell
me. Well, no, I just sent it to you via DM on Twitter. So check it out really quick.
All right, I'm going to take a look. Just give me a quick
click on the link. It takes you to Footy Headlines. You'll see all four of them. But, I'm with Marco when it comes to, first of all, mind you, congratulations and welcome back to Twitter, Marco. I'll give you a chance to plug later.
I mean, the Bundesliga still won, but I'm back.
That's okay. You're back under an assumed name, a different name. And that's all that matters to me is that you're back. And, we're ready to hit this Far From Vesuvius thing with full force this season. So it's good to have you back on Twitter, also want to say thank you to those who are listening to the Far From Vesuvius, to us on the Far From Vesuvius podcast, the audio only version. As far as the kits go, I'm with Marco when it comes to the timing. It's a little like at first I wasn't really bothered by it because I was thinking to myself, Napoli are doing something different. It's going to take a little bit of extra time. It's late, yeah, but it didn't bother me. Now it's kind of bothering me because we've seen four preseason matches where we're wearing our last year's kit, and up to 2 days before the season starts, we haven't even seen the new kits yet. And it's like, will they be ready by the first match? And if not, what are we doing? Because we cannot start the league in the old kits. We cannot do that. Like, contractually, we're not allowed to do that. So these things better be ready. And I have faith that they will be ready, but it is sort of a bad look. Like I said, before it wasn't bothering me. Now it's kind of bothering me as the time comes closer. But overall, I'm very pleased with what we're doing as far as having our own distribution, linking up with EA7, which no one's ever done in the football community. We were the first team to have an Amazon store in the whole world. So that's, something. We have Konami as a sponsor now too. Not on the shirt, but as a sponsor,
Can we trade Lete for Konami? That would
be it would be nice. Maybe late, maybe soon.
Oh, but yeah, that would be amazing.
But the bottom line is that I'm okay, with the stuff that's going on with the kits. It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers me that we knew that Husai has been gone since the beginning of the season of the off season, and we still don't have a left back. That's what bothers me the most. I don't really care what we look like, how we look, when it comes out. At the end of the day, I care about what's going on the pitch and the performances that we turn out. And that's a real issue. And that's a bone that I have to pick with ADL. Like it's kind of in sync with what is going on in the left back situation, how late we're leaving it. So we're leaving the kits late. We're leaving our left back late. But, overall, I'm positive. I'm always a positive guy. You guys all know that. So I'm very excited for the season to start. But these are things that should be handled beforehand. And if you're going to wear your old kits all four matches of the preseason, that's fine. But come out with the kit like a week and a half before the season starts, at least. Not 2 days before, which is scheduled to come out on the 20th, which is a Friday. So
I feel like De Laurentiis is in his office just like, wait for it. Wait for it.
Left back, center back, CM, stadium.
That's my thing new. All new shit.
That's magic.
I feel like, watch, next Friday is going to be Christmas in Napoli, yo, I swear. Like,
we sign Ronaldo, too.
Napoli. Yeah, right.
Ronaldo. Oh, the PSG thing. Messi's really coming our way. Yeah, it's just a joke.
I don't know, man. Like, I, it's hard to really wrap your head around the fact that, like, you know, and I guess we can transition into the new, you know, Johnny, by the way, how do you feel about those kits?
You know what? Just looking at the concept, I like the home kit. I'm not too crazy about the away kit. I don't know. It doesn't feel like a Napoli jersey. Like, if it wasn't for the, I know it's concept, so I'm just going based on
right.
If it wasn't for the logo and obviously Lette as a sponsor, because it's been like our sponsor for such a long time, you wouldn't know it's a Napoli kit. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have like that blue or anything in it. You know what I mean? Like, I need that Azzurro. I need it. You know, that's why the red is normal. We've seen it before.
There's a fourth one though. It kind of looks like this, the colors, whereas the colors are inverted. So it's navy blue with the baby blue top, or the sky blue top, I should say. There's a fourth one. I'm not sure. It was weird. I had to dig for that one. I didn't see it in the original posting of that.
Yeah, if you were to click into the if you were to click into the post that
footy, the fourth is nice.
Footy Concepts, I think it was. They Footy Headlines. I'm sorry, FootyHeadlines.com basically had an entire article with pictures based on Tutela Maglia Napoli's post, you know, and they said if you click onto that, you'll find the navy one. But if they say that this is like with information given that we know of, you know, so like I'm all for the white sponsors on the red like that. I mean,
yeah, that's nice.
And also the fact that we have, you know, the Lette without the box again, which, you know, obviously is a league thing, that's a league thing as of this past season.
Yeah.
But the white is something about white kits with the red logo, you know,
looks
like
a little,
this one right here behind me here, you know, right. just nostalgic to me, you know?
So I feel like for all the time we've been waiting for this, we should, like, if you buy a jersey, you should get a pair of like really tight jeans with it or something, like that, right? Like some like a special
copy of De Laurentiis' movies. One of them,
yeah.
Like in every box, you just open
like
up
an old VHS, right? Like
maybe there's a new movie coming out, Natale con Armani.
Armani,
you know, he's always big on the Christmas movies. You know,
Natale sends a left back. But guys, listen. So let's talk about Marco. I'm going to start with you. So let's talk about Napoli a little bit. I think, like, you know, the first thing I'll ask probably is, you know, one of the biggest changes that we had so far over the transfer season was the coach, right? And now, hey, this show has been a very pro Gattuso show. So whether pro or against, and not to diss Gattuso, but really, I'm curious to know from you how will Spalletti be different for this team than Gattuso, if there is a difference? And how will that affect the results and the attitude of the team?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. In all honesty, like, the squad is the exact same squad, right? There hasn't been any transfers in or out, right? So, like, we'll see what that means in the long run, realistically, and what happens by the end of transfer season, because there's still a long way to go. I mean, now you're hearing Manolas rumors. He might be on his way back to Greece, which would be unfortunate because – I mean, unfortunately, because if Juan Jesus comes in as the rumored, I mean, again, these are all rumors and who knows what's happening. But to me, that's not a suitable replacement. And I know Spalletti has that experience with him. And I think that's what Spalletti does bring. And we'll talk about this as well. But he brings that experience, right? He's been around. He's done the job. He's managed these players before. I mean, not everybody, but he's managed some of these players before. He's got some of that experience. And we'll see what he does with this team. But I'm very curious to see what the morale is going to be like, because Gattuso was really able to get these guys on the same page after a dark period under Ancelotti. And so does that now change with Gattuso gone, who we knew and we know the players loved under Spalletti, who might be a little bit tougher on them? And, you know, that'll be interesting to see if he's able to keep that chemistry, because you hear De Laurentiis talk, and in all honesty, if I'm a player, I'm not motivated to play under him, right? I mean, especially when you see the transfer rumors about Insigne or Koulibaly, and it's hard when these leaders are being, you know, mentioned in transfer season. And I know that's just the reality of Napoli and the finances of the situation and the realism of it all. But now when you're talking about losing a guy like Insigne, like captain, and if he's truly on the market for 25, 30 million euros, I'm curious to see how Spalletti manages that and deals with that. Because we know what happened with Totti in Rome and, you know, with Icardi at Inter. Like, we've seen this story before. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in that situation and how he deals with this. And again, how he deals with De Laurentiis, because that's going to be a big situation as well. Does he lose his patience with the patron? Right? I mean, and we'll find out about that.
Johnny, I'm going to kick that same question over to you, unless you want to chime in real quick, Ralph, on that. No.
Good. Let's hear from Johnny.
Let Johnny answer, Johnny. Same thing for you. You know, Spalletti's influence on this team. What's something that might jump out at you?
Like, the Totti thing is something I'm really, like that type of aspect is a worry of mine. Because obviously, when I was younger, before Napoli came back up into Serie A, Roma was my team. Still is, but
right.
But I've seen Spalletti manage a good Roma team, and they made him they competed for Scudetto, but there was no way beating Inter during that era. So I have positive opinions of Spalletti. Not saying anything bad about Gattuso. I enjoyed Gattuso.
No. We're not knocking Gattuso, but yeah. I just like the difference.
The man has much more experience than Gattuso, which can help out. I don't think that he has just enough for us to win the league itself. I have hope. I mean, like, I would love it if it did, but I don't think it's just enough. We have a little couple of holes here and there, but I think he can get us good results. I honestly think that he's not going to be a motivator like Gattuso, but I think he's going to be a better tactician than Gattuso, which would be nice to see. I mean, like we saw last year, we were frustrated. Gattuso sometimes not even making a sub to the last few minutes of the game, or sometimes not even making a sub at all, you know, I feel like as if he won't make those little errors like that.
Okay.
I feel like Spalletti will not make those tiny errors. And sometimes a bunch of little errors adds up to a big problem. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Spalletti's going to bring that. But the issue, like I said before, how sometimes a key player who's like a big icon in the city, he won't care. Right. Sometimes if you're out, you're out. If you don't want to play, you don't want to play. If I don't have a use for you, I don't have a use for you. Which, in the grand scheme of things, it's good for the team. It's like he's obviously putting the team first, but like he cannot play like a player like Lorenzo Insigne. You cannot play like a player like Francesco Totti. You know, like even if it's just for like the last 10, 15 minutes of the game when they reach the twilight of their career, like
right.
And that's what I don't like about him, but I have mostly positive feelings for it. I think it's going to be a great experience.
Now, Rafa, do you want to?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mentioned this last week on our show with the panel. I'll mention it again here. I think that Spalletti brings the same amount of, what's the word I'm looking for? Enthusiasm. You know, intensity, but he brings it with more knowledge than Gattuso. So that's why I'm sort of now on this Spalletti train. The fact that we don't have, like I said, you know, a minute and a half or 2 minutes ago, that we don't have a proper left back to start the season, you know, and you know, obviously we're covered with Mario Rui, but that doesn't really do much for us defensively, you know. Again, you go into the season knowing the areas of need, and it's not done with 5 days left, you know, and it's worrying for me, even though we have what I think could be, now that Inter have lost, you know, Lukaku, and I don't care that Dzeko replaced him there. And I also don't care that, you know, Tammy Abraham has gone to Roma. Sorry, Johnny.
No, it's okay.
It's exciting, but it doesn't mean that Napoli are now the third or fourth best team. I think Napoli will finish second. I think they'll fight. They'll have a fight for a Scudetto, but when you know you're not improving in areas that you need to improve on, and even with Spalletti coming in, bringing us a different attitude, sense of direction, or what have you, trying out new formations and what have you. I don't think it's going to be enough to win a Scudetto. We'll definitely get back to the Champions League, but he's got his qualities that I really am excited for.
Yeah.
But even Juventus made one move. You know what I mean? Bringing Caio George in. It's like we have to make this move, whether it's today, tomorrow, or like after the first game before the deadline's over. Something's got to happen. Because when we don't win a Scudetto, because let's face it, it's probably not going to happen, especially this season. Everyone will circle back to this transfer market, and not even like even if we make some sort of a move in January, they'll come back to this one, and they'll say, "This is why we didn't win the Scudetto."
I'll say this much. The transfer market is not over, so let's not get our hopes down yet. I know it's coming down to the wire. We haven't had the kits. We haven't had the signings. We just did a couple of loans here and there. There's Verona on the back of our mind. There's not making champions on back of the mind. So, it's hard to find kind of like a happy place right now for Napolitani. But if it all goes down, let's say we do get the left back, which I feel like we will. And Rafa, I agree with you. It will, we will, fans, if nothing happens and we don't get to where we need, fans will look at this transfer market. But I still have faith. I still think that we're going to pick somebody up. Emerson, maybe, today I can say that the articles or the reports out there, I mean, they were flip-flopping every hour. Emerson, yes. Emerson, no. Estupian, yes. Estupian, no.
They're always flip-flopping.
They're always flip-flopping. So it's really hard to get a gauge as to what's going on out there. Now, I think that everybody's kind of waiting until the last minute, if you will, to see, because that's when like the bidding wars start going up. I think everybody's holding out, waiting, seeing what other teams are going to do, other administrations are going to do, and then we'll possibly get a lot of movement towards like the end of the transfer season. Kind of like, when you're playing FIFA and it's like, going to the end and then you start making your transfers. I feel like it's going to be like that, and rightfully so. But,
and sorry to jump in. Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say, in all honesty, and I know as much as we all like Gattuso, and I'm not going to shit on him at all, but Napoli underachieved last year. I mean, yes, it wasn't his fault because of the injuries and everything else that went on there, and the season that was, but Napoli probably had on paper one of the best squads in all of Serie A.
Right.
I mean, they should have been a top four team. There's no doubt about it. And essentially, again, this is the same team. I mean, yeah, okay, Napoli's lost Hisai and Maximovic, and I mean, who knows, maybe he returns and signs a new deal. But essentially, this is the same team. And if they are all healthy and you have a healthy Osimhen striking, like playing like we know he can, and now with a year of experience in Serie A, and you have Lorenzo Insigne off of a European championship playing what we know he is capable of doing, and a motivated Politano who missed out on that Euro Cup,
right,
this is a team that can be very, very dangerous, especially under an offensive coach like Spalletti. So I think Napoli fans can't get too down. Because of the transfer window, yes, it would be nice, especially if we could sign Emerson. That would be absolutely massive. Right. But all things considered, if we're able to keep all our players, and if we could please just re-sign Lorenzo Insigne so we're not dealing with this nonsense all year long, then I think this team really does have potential. And I mean, Inter is falling apart at the seams right now, and it's only getting worse as we discover what's going on with your financial situation. Right. And Juventus is still in a transition year. They're probably the favorites for the Scudetto, but they're also ripe for the taking as well. So I think as much as we want to talk about this transfer window and the lack of activity, given the circumstances, if we could keep hold of our superstars, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I just want to add in, like, we have to also realize the fact that 2 years ago he spent about 80 million, 90 million, however the total was, for both Manolas and Lozano. Last year he spent another 70, 80 for Osimhen. I mean, I'm not saying he's poor, but he's obviously not the most well-off owner in the league, you know.
Sure.
He did do a big chunk of spending over the past couple of seasons.
Right.
I would understand, before I continue, before anybody misunderstands, I would understand if he takes this summer as like a stand pat type of summer. Mm-hmm. Or if I can get a bargain deal, I'll go for the bargain deal. But sure, for the big splash or the big fish, I don't, or like a big, like 30 plus million spending, I don't see that happening because of what he spent the past two off seasons. Right. So, I mean, winter time could be different, but especially now with fans coming back, you know, maybe he might have a bit more wiggle room and everything, but that's my theory on it. I think because of the past two summers, this summer, especially it's after the pandemic and everything, he's going to pump the brakes a bit.
Well, and that's just it. I think if Napoli qualify for the Champions League, you know, that extra, however many million that comes in, what is it, like 40? You know, I'm just spitballing, but it's somewhere in there, in that range. You know, maybe we do act a little quicker. You know, maybe we are re-signing Insigne for what he wants. Right. Maybe we are getting a bigger player with, you know, potential in the left back area. But notwithstanding, you know, I've started today in a negative position, which I never do, and I'm never in, but like it's a little frustrating at this point. At the end of the day, when you take a look at everything in perspective, transfers coming in, transfers going out, the key for me is transfers going out. Everybody thinks Napoli is a team that needs to make money. Everybody's a team that thinks that Napoli's a team. Oh, they missed two Champions Leagues in a row. They're probably starving. They got to sell all these players. Where in reality, we don't have to sell Koulibaly. We don't have to sell Fabian. Those two guys were the biggest guys that were looking to offload this season, and it's not happening, you know? And we don't have to, you know, sell the farm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not we're not in that position yet.
Rafa, do you think, let me ask you then, do you think that after all these years of, you know, De Laurentiis and balancing the books and trying to honor the financial fair play, and I don't want to say being stingy, but being
smarter,
conservative, and a little bit smarter, a little bit more cautious with his spending. Do you think this was the year? And obviously, nobody could have predicted a global pandemic or COVID or whatever situation that's going on. But do you think after all these years, maybe this year was the year? And I'd like to extend this to everybody and even the chat. Do you think this year, all that business philosophy that he had paid off?
Yeah.
Because if 100%. We were in a position like Inter with $300, $400 million of debt, ridiculous. There's no more Napoli. 100%. There's no more ridiculous. Napoli.
100%. And listen, and I have a fight with my cousins and some friends all the time about this, okay? My cousin Dan's, his philosophy is, well, Inter won a Scudetto. They're the ones who beat the Juve streak. Look at them. They're champions. They're champions. Okay, they don't have the manager that did it. They don't have the top striker in the league that did it. Well, one of them anyway. They don't have their huge, huge, great signing in Hakimi. After one season, he's gone. They were looking to offload Lautaro, and they brought in, who'd they bring in? Dumfries and Dzeko?
Yeah.
Not the replacements.
No one can
hold on. That are going to put them over the hoop.
But hold on. And I'm gonna change the narrative just a little bit and say, would you not give it all up for a Scudetto? Like, in all honesty, would you not? And okay. You look back at all the suffering and how close we've come. Would you not say, you know what? I wouldn't go bankrupt again. That's a different story. But would you, I mean, how do you not say that, yeah, I want a Scudetto? Like, how do you not say, you know what? I would give up maybe four or five of our top players if it meant one Scudetto. Nah. And I mean, look at after 2017, After 2017, we lost Jorginho. We lost a lot of our top players, and we didn't win a Scudetto. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm wearing a Toronto Raptors championship hat because they gave everything away for that one title. And you know what? It was amazing to see, right? We got Kawhi Leonard for that 1 year, and he brought us a title. And you know what? Right now, we weren't even in the playoffs this year, and I'm okay with that because I'm a Leafs fan, and I've also seen the Toronto Maple Leafs not win a Stanley Cup since 1967. As close as they haven't even really come that close. So at the same time, I'm like, I think I would give it all up for one Scudetto. And at least Inter fans can say they saw their team end that Juve streak. Because Lord knows I would have killed to be the team.
No, but you're right.
I have a different perspective on it, to be honest with you. Because like we're not like, let's just call a spade. We're not Inter. We're not Milan. We're not Juve. Right. We're not one of the big three. We're not a team that basically can be like, we can sacrifice 10 years of Vanta era, but we're eventually going to be back up there because we have Champions League titles. We have history. We have a bunch of league titles. At the end of the day, yeah, we can give it up and win one Scudetto, sure. But if it's going to cost us financially for a good 10 years, because we're I don't mean small, like tiny market, but because we're a smaller market team, it's dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. And I'd rather stay competitive and actually develop a bit of a reputation for being competitive. And if you're 10 years competitive and you get that one championship, in my eyes, it's still pretty good. Like if it would have happened during the Cavani, Lavezzi, Hamsik era that we actually, or even the Higuain, Insigne era where he actually got over that hump and actually beat Juve for one Scudetto, one year, like that Fiorentina year. We won't talk about that game, but like if we actually would have won it, we still would have been in the same position as we are today. Plus with a Scudetto, you know, like we came close. We never were there enough. But if it's Napoli, I don't want to do it because I don't think it would recover. I think we would go to bankrupt. Well,
that's exactly where I was going, Johnny. It's not like we can recover like Inter, who have a billionaire back in them, you know, at least a multimillionaire in the Soonings, right? You got
whatever money they can get out from China, basically.
I mean, we're as much as some people like to try to justify this, you know, or try to go against what the truth is. The truth is this: ADL is not a billionaire. He's a multimillionaire, but he's not smart backed by money, a country. He's not a billionaire. Either. He's not backed by.
By
he's not backed by.
You know what I mean?
He's not backed by oil. Yeah, he doesn't have oil money. He doesn't have fiat money. He doesn't have Suning money. He doesn't have Elliott Funds money. He doesn't have the sheiks. You know, it's just the thing is for me is that everybody says okay, the whole Maradona era, right? Fedelaino took a chance and found the money. No matter how he did it, he scraped around and got it. Figured it out.
Oh, I know how he did it.
He took a loan out.
No, but we all know how he did it.
Still paying the bank back. But,
and thank you for that because it provided us with credibility. It gave us memories. It gave us something to hold our head. Basically, he broke the bank and illegally did what he did to get Maradona. But look what happened after Maradona. Maradona left and the team crumbled to its knees and eventually was dug in the dirt. It was dug in the dirt. And I'm not saying let's go back and not do Maradona because that's different. It's also a different era. You understand what I'm saying? Today in Italy, okay, this season alone, you saw Chievo go under. Who else? I mean, there were a couple other teams.
Father's Village, Casertana went under too.
Casertana, just smaller teams. Palermo's going through it. Genoa went through it. Fiorentina went through it. A bunch of these teams, you know, Vicenza. Lots of teams have gone through this. Body, they've gone through this period of non-existence. And look at what Napoli went through. The same thing. And look where they are now. Only 16, 17 years later, Napoli are still – like I was telling my client today who's a sports guy, he's a baseball guy, and he was my last client of the day, and I said to him – I gave him the whole outline, like, you know, we don't spend because of this – or we spend, but you know what I mean? We don't sacrifice for that title. He said to me, the consistency of you guys being in Europe builds you a credibility. Like if I'm going to ask, if I'm going to ask you guys, now, yes, everybody wants a Scudetto. Everybody wants a Scudetto. But if you ask me, if we win one Scudetto by getting rid of everybody and then signing that major player with a couple good players around to get it that one season, then we got to sell them because we FFP, what have you, everybody's got to leave, whatever. And we're left with the shell of what we were. Okay. We're in the Champions League the next season. And now we're going to make an absolute disgrace of ourselves in the Champions League because we can't compete because we just have to sell everybody to make money back to survive. Napoli is a well-run club, no matter how anybody wants to slice it about winning a Scudetto. I'm sorry, Inter just won a Scudetto for the first time. A different team in Serie A won a Scudetto in 9 years. Prior to that, who else has won the Scudetto before Roma? Or before, was it Roma? It was Lazio, then Roma? Yeah.
No, it was Inter.
Oh, you had like early 2000s. It was like
besides Inter, besides Milan and Juve.
With Lazio, Roma.
The last time was Lazio, Roma, and that was it. That was it. Yep. So for people over here saying, oh, they need to win a Scudetto. Scudetto or bust. Scudetto, Scudetto, Scudetto. Guess what? There's 20 teams in the league, 19 other teams in the league every single season that aspire to the Scudetto and don't do it because Juventus did it for 10 straight years. You know what I'm saying? So for us to be where we are during this Juventus, you know, legacy, for me is pretty remarkable because we're only Napoli. We're only essentially with the ADL era, a 17-year-old club who's fighting in Europe for the past 13 seasons straight, okay, consecutively. And before that time, we would only dream of Napoli versus Bayern Munich, Napoli versus Chelsea, Napoli versus City, Napoli versus Liverpool. We'd have to play PlayStation to get to the Champions League. You know what I'm saying? So
Marco, you're 100% right.
But I mean, Marco, the long-winded answer to your question is no. I wouldn't break the whole bank to win a Scudetto. I would want more to build with what we've had and finally get to that Scudetto instead of sell out for a year.
Oh, 100%.
Just to add in, quickly, it was the last three teams that weren't part of the big three to win the Scudetto was 2000-2001 Roma, 99-2000 Lazio, and 1990-1991 Sampdoria.
Yeah.
Like, those are the last three teams that were not part of the big three to actually win the Scudetto. So,
it doesn't happen. But here's the thing. And Rafa, like you alluded to, Napoli had a terrible downfall, and we saw what happened after, you know, San Diego left. But at the same time, those years that he was there are still sang about in that stadium today.
Sure.
Right? No, so if it means, in all honesty, maybe not 1 year, you're right, but two or three years of, and I'm not going to say Messi's Maradona, but yeah, if you were able to bring Messi and he was able to do what Maradona was able to do, even just for two or three years, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Well, because if you're telling me that it's a 2-3-4 year thing, then maybe, yes,
okay, that's
I would. But I'm going off of what's going on at Inter right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Like
you don't even have to, Rafa. Like, remember, honestly, what does Napoli have besides that Maradona era? Especially afterwards,
Napoli
the
have
De Laurentiis era.
Napoli have three Coppa Italia before De Laurentiis, and three since De Laurentiis. So
two Supercopas
and two and no one Supercopa.
What? It wasn't two.
One. No. We lost that one in Turkey.
In
Turkey, in Beijing.
Beijing.
Yeah. We lost that one. We were supposed to win that one.
But we don't have that big meaty ribeye. No, we don't. That's what everybody wants, though. Let's keep it real.
But again,
Coppa Italia was nice on the come up. It was great, but I think we all want a little bit.
I agree that it's no longer. It should no longer be a priority to win Coppa Italia and be satisfied with that. I agree with that because we've been there and done that. Okay, I agree with that. I think Europe is a goal. I think the Scudetto is a goal, but at the same time, at the same time. Do you know how hard it is to win in Europe? Do you know how hard, even the Europa League, especially this season where it's going to be even more competitive than ever? You know how hard it is, because you get past the group stage of Europa League.
Right.
You now have to play teams that are really playing well in their season, and teams that might be playing well in their clubs but missed out on qualifying in the Champions League. You're playing legitimate competitive teams.
Right.
Like, the end of the Europa League is nothing to be, you know, looked past. You know, you don't look past the end of, you don't just go, whatever, it's Europa League, because these are teams that want to win in Europe.
You know, the year we should have won the Europa League. Well, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. That was a missed opportunity. That was a real missed opportunity.
Huge. I'll tell you what, if we had won that Europa League, then I'd say break the bank. Yep. Let's get the Scudetto. Because we at least have that Europa League to like hang our hats on, you
right.
know what I mean?
You have a little validation there, right?
But you can't just I'm going to reiterate again, in no way, shape, or form. I don't want people to think to twist this around. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that Maradona never should have happened. But what I am saying is people don't really kind of look deeper into the fact that when Maradona left, the club was in a lot of trouble. It came at a cost. But at the same time, it wasn't just one season. It was two Scudettos, a Europa, UEFA Cup competition. People, teams and players and fans feared us. They feared us. And I'm happy with that.
Right.
If we were to break the bank and
well, we
and
had the
totally
Messi of the day, right?
I mean, yeah, well, I'm saying if we were to totally remodel our landscape so that teams could fear us for a decade, then I'm in. You know what I'm saying? But I can't do it. I can't sign up for just one. Now, you can't tell me, all right, we're going to do it 1 year, and then we're going to sell everybody else.
What
and
about,
forget about
what
it.
About one Champions League?
Oh, Maradona, me. One Champions League. Now you're
I'll go out in the stadium and sell scarves to raise some money for ADL.
I'll tell you what, Cuba. I'll tell you what. If we were to win a Champions League, if we were to follow this model and then get to the Champions League for that one Champions League, it better be with a Scudetto on our shirt from the season prior, because that's how I would do it. I would break the bank if it was a Scudetto one season and then the Champions League the next.
But imagine the look on all the Juventino's faces if Napoli, even if we didn't win a Scudetto, but if Napoli won the Champions League before Juve. That would just be like, you know what I mean? That would, I would take that and go bankrupt. Maybe not. I shouldn't say that. Touch wood.
Yeah,
that
please, would, no. Let's not go
you
bankrupt.
Know what I mean? But no. I would take that, and I would be a happy guy.
Well, the roundabout. What I'm trying to say is, fans should really put into perspective. Yes, I know we want to screw that, but we all do. But fans really should put into perspective where we are now, even today. Versus where we were in 2004. I know everyone's going to say, oh, thank you to ADL, but we got to move on from him. Dude, if anybody is a constant on this team, it's ADL. ADL ain't transferring himself. ADL doesn't sell himself. You know, players come and go. Managers come and go.
He would if he could.
Sell some bootleg DVDs or something, man. Let's get that left back. But let me, guys. You know, Mark, you put us on the spot here with that.
Right? I wouldn't.
That's a really, really good question. Like, would we give it all up? No, I love it. It's awesome. I had a question in my mind, a follow up, and I forgot it. That's what really happened. But I was trying.
I was just gonna say, just because I've seen so much mediocrity in my life, not Napoli, but every team I like has always sucked. Right? Like, I grew up a Raptors fan, a Leafs fan, a Jays fan, like. It's been very, very
difficult. I'll be back. Oh, PSG shit.
Until they won. Yeah, like, it's been very, very difficult. And I've seen so many rebuilding stages and rebuilding phases. And, oh, there's next year. And, oh, we're drafting these guys. Or we've got these prospects coming in. But when you actually have the opportunity to win and you see a championship, that's worth more than anything, right? So, especially when it comes to a Champions League, if Napoli, I mean, I don't even want to dream about that because Lord knows I probably, and I hope I'm wrong, but I probably never will see one in my lifetime. But that would be the dream, right? So it's I don't know. It's hard to say. Mm-hmm. But if it meant winning the Champions League, I'd be okay with losing Insigne. But it would have to, like, but if we're losing Insigne and not winning the Champions League, then there's a problem.
Right.
Oh, that's, well, that's not cool, man. That's not cool.
I mean, like, fighting hockey.
Like, okay,
tell,
but just,
tell me, actually, just tell me you're not a,
in a hockey perspective.
Tell me you're not a Patriots fan either.
I am.
No.
Oh. Whoa. Now, wait a minute.
This I didn't know. I didn't know this.
Montreal's an NFL team. I support the Boston team of the NFL. What do you want me to do?
You're like, a Red Sox fan too?
No, I don't really. But when the Expos left, I basically stopped watching MLB. I was I'm not going to go Nationals. Like, no, there's no point.
Please don't.
But like, here, I was taking it from my side of the fence where, okay, I saw one of my teams win a Stanley Cup, right? I saw them win that championship. And but for the next, like, because of the salary cap situation, they suffocated themselves with all these non-movement clauses. They get these players. They lost in 2013 to one of the best Blackhawks teams ever. And then after that, for a good 3-4 years, the Bruins were average. They barely made the playoffs, and it sucked. But if it wasn't for Sweeney coming in, moving dead weight and stuff, they were able to rejuvenate and become competitive again. But if that never happened, the Bruins would have spiraled down. And yeah, cool. Like, yeah, you saw your team win the championship. I get that concept. I get it. But the a player is always going to remember, like for example, the Avalanche that of the 90s that won 2 Stanley Cup, the Red Wings of the 90s and the mid-2000s that won 3 and were constantly competitive throughout the years. Even post-cap era, the Lightning, the Blackhawks, the Penguins. You know, like, you identify your core, you keep that core, you stay competitive. Napoli, we identified that core. There's Insigne is part of that core, Koulibaly is part of that core, Zielinski is becoming part of that core. Like, you have your core of players. Like, yeah, like, I don't want to lose that and, like, just to get that one championship and then that's it. You know, like,
trust me,
it'd be beautiful.
If Napoli wins that one Champions League, I promise you, we will never let people hear the end of it. Like I said, Toronto's won one championship in like 30 years, and I'm still wearing this hat proud. And I probably will for the next 30 years because Lord knows when I'm going to see another championship, right? So I just.
I'm still wearing my 1994 New York Rangers cap. So, you know, I told my Mark nephew Messier. He's a big hockey fan. There he is. I told my nephew he's 12, 13, about to be 13 years old, big Ranger fan, loves hockey. I was like, you know, back before 94, we were all doing the 1940 chant. I don't know if you guys remember that. And pretty soon we're going to start doing the 1994 chant. Well, let me tell you something. We waited 54 years. New York, you know, like New York City, New York Rangers, one of the original six, waited 54 years from 1940 to win another cup. And I feel like we're going to wait another 54.
I'd rather take 40, 50 Stanley Cups for the Rangers or Leafs any day over the Habs winning one. So you know what? Because them every summer feels like 93. Every fucking summer feels like 93, apparently. So, but yeah, I'm getting off course here.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to how rare it is to win a championship, right? I mean, for most fan bases. So at the end of the day, if you got a sacrifice to do it, it's, you know, do you do it? And I guess that's a question everybody can answer.
But that's the thing is that if we're going to sacrifice our core, we've got to replace it with somebody credible and somebody who's going to take us to that next level and hopefully do it without breaking the bank completely and being able to exist the next season. Because like Johnny said, I'm sorry, a team like Napoli who does not have the money to rebound or to like you know, pay off UEFA for FFP, we would be toast, man. We would be in trouble. And that's just the bottom line, man.
I think, you know, a part of being having a bigger mentality in regards to having a big club mentality, I should say, is knowing that you're not going to win all the time. And that sometimes just being in the mix, having your name in with the big boys is good enough sometimes. And I know we want a trophy. I want a trophy more than anybody. But let's keep it real. These teams like Real, Barca, or Juve, or whatever big team, you know, any other team in the EPL, you don't just give up, win, and then it's all good. Because kind of Napoli did that, and we didn't go nowhere for a long time. It takes long. If we want longevity, if we want to be a top contender for the next half century, when, you know, beyond ADL, we're going to look back and we're probably going to appreciate what ADL did or what he's doing right now. Because in order to get to that point, we have to make the sacrifice now. Now, I know we're the fans. We have to watch it. We have to make that sacrifice too, right? Maybe our kids or our grandkids will be watching a Napoli that's consistently competing for a Champions League or a Scudetto. It may not be now, but if we continue here, we will get there eventually. It just takes time. It's a whole process. And you know, to Marco's point, there is some sacrifice that got to be made. You know, you have to, you know, you have to, it takes money to make money, right? You have to make some type of risk. There has to be some type of calculated risk. Now, considering pandemic and all that, I won't get into this year, but in general.
Yeah. This is not the year to risk. This is not the year to risk.
Like, don't tell me that we're not going to make the spot that we're going to make because we missed out on one signing. If one signing is, we're going to miss out on all this other success and all this other money, and with ADL losing the fanship even more, it's not worth that risk. You got to put up that cash. You got to make sure you have that piece, which I think will happen. Just
here's the thing.
It's going to be last minute.
You sign a left back. Let's say Emerson comes in or Estupian comes in or whoever comes in, right? And we don't win the Scudetto. Then whose fault is it? You know? Whose fault is it now?
For not signing Messi.
That's what I mean. Everybody's gonna
for not say signing there's James Rodriguez. Signings.
But we've made record signings. We've made record signings for four seasons in a row, three seasons in a row. You know, in a COVID season, it's not feasible. Now every team in Serie A, some might have gotten a little better, but. Not even Juventus strengthened. You know, Inter, we just talked about that. Juve, Inter. This would be a season to capitalize and maybe break the bank for a player. But why? You know what I'm saying?
We don't need to break the banks. We just need to fill in spots.
No, what I'm saying is people will say that. We'll say, oh, right. Everybody, nobody's gotten that much better. In fact, some teams have gotten worse. Why didn't we go after Messi? Why didn't we go after? Why wasn't it us that went after this guy, Sancho, and this guy, you know, and Kane, and this person? Like for like, why couldn't we do it? And no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think I mentioned this. Did I say the take last week about that dude Antonio from IFTV? He had a take about Messi coming to Napoli. Did I mention that last episode? I feel like I forgot now. All right, a quick take about Messi, and then I'm going to give it up to you guys, all right? Antonio from IFTV, he had said that Messi's not coming to Napoli because I don't think he wants that responsibility to do what Maradona did. Because think about it, and I'm with it, and I'm going to elaborate more on it. Messi, at the tail end of his career now, this twilight of his career, he got everything he ever needed. He really doesn't have to prove much more. For him to come to Napoli, to try to accomplish what Messi did in a league where he has to face Juve with Ronaldo. So you got that Messi-Ronaldo with the biggest rivalry. If he doesn't accomplish that, I mean, he's going to put a stain on all the work that he did throughout these years with Barcelona just to come. And not to mention a huge pay cut because he's getting paid, what? I don't know what the official report, what, 40 to 60 million on PSG? He would have to take a ridiculously huge pay cut to come to Napoli. So all the risk is his. He wouldn't do it. And that's why Messi won't come to Napoli.
And that's why Messi will never be Maradona. And that's why Messi will never be Maradona right there.
Maradona was a special, special guy. Those players don't just come along. So it's not even – I don't even think it's fair to compare Messi to Maradona. Maradona, aside from his skill, was one of the most mentally tough dudes that was probably out there. What he had to do to win a Scudetto – was beyond skill. His ambition had to be the biggest ever seen, probably in Naples since. So, for Messi to put that pressure on himself at the twilight years of his career doesn't make sense for Messi. So, that's a little bit of a hybrid of mine and Antonio's take. So,
no, I have to disagree. First of all, this is all fantasy because it would never have happened anyway. A, Napoli's not in the Champions League, which I get. And B, Napoli will never be able to pay Messi the money he needs and wants or what have you. But let's just say that he decided to come, take the ridiculous pay cut, stay in the Europa League for a season. Let's just say he did that, okay? You're marketing the league, and I don't know if that's his, you know, if that's his responsibility. It's not his responsibility, but you're making Serie A on Paramount Plus, you know, CBS Sports. You're making the value of this league triple, quadruple, go five times as big as it is now. A and B, you have a point to see. For me, Messi does have a point to prove, and Messi should have taken the risk because of the fact that he was at Barcelona all those years, surrounded by nothing but all-stars. Okay, this guy had super duper stars with him the entire tenure at Barcelona. I'm not taking away what he did at Barcelona, but Barcelona was already a European champion. They've won countless La Liga titles without him before him. And when he comes in, he just makes them this super duper team, which is great. But at the same time, he walked into the senior team with Ronaldinho, with players like, you know, and I can't even remember off the top of my head who was there when he was there, but superstar players. Okay. This guy, Eto, you know, it's just insane insanity. If he were to come to Napoli and finally be the guy to topple Juventus, I know Inter toppled Juventus last season, but let's be real. Juve are again the favorites to win the Scudetto this season, and had Messi come over and done it, taking Ronaldo out and bringing Napoli to a Europa League title, subsequently, you know, getting to the Champions League and maybe going, because if you put Messi in this team, Napoli win everything. That's my opinion. You put, even without a left back, Napoli win everything.
But here's the thing, as romantic of an idea as Messi to Napoli is, and we've all agreed that it's unrealistic and it would never be able to happen in today's football world, right? Like, even if he wanted to take the pay cut, it's not happening. And again, he doesn't owe anything to Napoli, you know, in all fairness, right? Like, just because a legend from his country years before him came to Napoli and became a hero shouldn't necessarily mean that he has to, right? And I get that. My thing, too, is, like you mentioned, yeah, the league would grow astronomically at first, but then people would get bored, right? I mean, look at Ronaldo. When he first came to Juve, everybody was trying to buy the league's rights. It was a big deal. Everyone was talking about it. Now, nobody cares. And Serie A is really struggling to sell their rights internationally, right? I mean, and that's also why Serie A teams are still so broke. I mean, today there was a great article about how all of North Africa and, you know, much of the Arab world doesn't have Serie A starting next week. And so now Serie A is creating their own YouTube channel in Arabic to market to those people. So that's hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue because Serie A and BN are having their issues. So that makes a difference too with these teams. And if there's not the exposure, right? Because as we as Napoli fans would love to see Messi, and I'm sure people from Argentina would probably love to see it because it's romantic, him coming to Napoli. But if you're a fan of any other club, you don't really care. And I mean, we talk about Maradona, and as much as we love him and as much as he's still such a symbol to us, he played in the 80s, right? There's a lot of kids growing up today that barely even know who he is, which is sad and, you know, criminal, but it's realistic. And so that's the tough part, is when we talk about Napoli, we also got to remember, you know, we're not necessarily in the conversation with Barcelona or Real Madrid or the giants of European football. And What do we got to do to get there? I'm not sure, but I just don't think Messi coming right now would have worked, period. And imagine, again, like you mentioned,
baggage, you know?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you're right. If you're him, why do you want to take that on? Especially after you just got the monkey off your back with Argentina and finally won that international trophy. Why put more pressure? Now he's going to go to PSG. He's going to coast. He's probably going to win another couple of Champions Leagues. And he's going to love life, right? And I can't necessarily blame him for that. So,
eating baguette.
You know, yeah, exactly. Making 40 million a year.
The only counter argument I have to all this, the only counter besides financials and everything, because we know that's one main reason why it never happened. In my eyes, I see somebody cemented as a great of the game when they go to a team in any sport, you name it, where a player would go to a lesser team and elevate them to become a competitive or championship running team. Mm-hmm. Now, like in the world of soccer, I know Juve wasn't the worst off team, but I respect Ronaldo for coming to Juve to try to at least make them get over that hump and win that Champions League title that they haven't seen since 96, I think. I'm not probably off with the year, I wouldn't know. But like he's trying to get them over that hump. And if Ronaldo ever does it, every argument I'm going to give, I would give Ronaldo over Messi because Ronaldo challenged himself, went to different teams. Now, I'm not saying they were terrible teams, but still went to different teams and either got local success or even international success. And if he ever achieves that with Juve, it's amazing to see. Messi went from one super team to another. You know, like, yeah, you know, it's like, cool. It's like, yeah, you know, he's always surrounded by elite talent. Those teams are elite. Yeah, he might win 5-6 Champions Leagues or whatever. But he took, personally speaking, I know people are probably rolling their eyes at me, but it looks like an easy route thing. It looks like, sure, you got a championship, but, you know, you're like the Patrick Maroon of the run. You know, you're just there like, oh, look, the team's fucking solid. I'm just a member of the team. Obviously, Messi's a bigger member of the team, but I don't know. It would make like a Champions League title with PSG right now won't be as ridiculous as if some magical world, a Champions League title with Napoli with Messi. You know what I mean? Like just the value in the world.
It doesn't even need to be Champions. It could be a Europa League or even a Scudetto. It's still bigger than a Champions.
It's like when Leicester City won the Prem. You know, like people are still talking about that today because even though it's a Premier League title, like it's unheard of. And that's the team that gets immortalized. You know, that's the story that gets immortalized. And if you would do it, you do it for the story. You do it for the history. You leave your – like, he's already left his mark in the game. Yeah, he's already left his mark in the game.
Messi has nothing to prove at PSG. Yeah. He has nothing to prove at PSG.
No, like, so what? Go in another champion or two, you know?
Right. But, win a CL, eat some escargot, done. But, guys, I want to move on. We're getting to the hour mark. We'll have a little bit, we'll go on a little longer. We're having a good time in the chat. Want to thank you to everybody on the chat who's sticking with us and commenting and you guys tonight. But I want to talk a little bit about the beginning of the season, you know, and get into Napoli kind of coming out the gate because I'd like to know, you know, I guess I'll start with Marco.
Johnny's not having any of that. It's Venezia. See ya.
No, I went to go turn on the AC. I'm dying of heat in my room.
We saw you beating up a little bit. Real quick, guys, I just like to know, you know, how is Napoli going to look coming out the gate? You know, we have the first five games. I'll just read it off real quick. Starts with Venezia, Genoa, Juve, Udinese, then Sampdoria. So, Marco, I will start with you. How do you see Napoli coming right out the gate? And who are you keeping your eye on, whether it be a player or a coach?
I'm excited. I think Napoli comes out of the gate strong. I feel like they always do. And then for the most part, that game against Juve is going to be huge, right? It feels like we always have an early season game against Juve. And, you know, here we are in week three with a major test on our hands. And it's going to be very fun to watch. For me, I think all eyes have to be on Osimhen to see whether he really does take that next step. Because we see his characteristics. We see what he's capable of. We know he can be an elite striker if he can get that consistency going. And so I think that's what I'm really curious to see is we've seen flashes of brilliance, but we haven't seen it over a long enough stretch of time for it to really mean something. And I think that's what's going to be very interesting this year. Last year, it was his first year in the league. He had the COVID issue. He had the shoulder issue. He had his... you know, a bunch of problems, and then he came through during stretches. But again, I want to see if he's able to really, really get it done over a long stretch of time when we need him to.
I'm going to read this real quick. As a fellow Nigerian, I think Ozingham might just have a stellar season if he gets supply. I'm with Godwin here.
A healthy Osimhen makes the big. Is going to be the difference maker for Napoli this year. Yeah. Like if he stays healthy, the guy has like we've talked about last time I was on. Like just this, just his influence on the field, the way he plays that ball, the way he can be both the main part of the offense or just a key part of it, or like mm-hmm. even just a supporter. He's important and integral of that Napoli up front. And honestly speaking, I think off the gate we probably go. 4 wins, 1 draw. The one draw coming to Juve. If Napoli comes out, it looks like a weak start for a schedule. So besides Juve, I think if a fully healthy Napoli can be very lethal offensively, and I think we're gonna come out very strong. I'm being bold with the prediction, but fuck it, let's go.
Why? Come on, right? Like, yeah. Isn't it about time that we're a little bold? You know?
Yeah.
I think it's okay. I think we should stop tiptoeing. Like maybe top, fuck top four. We're gonna win this year. Damn it. That's
well with Lukaku maybe. Out of the league. With Lukaku mm-hmm. out of the league, is
like
Osimhen now
a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, is Osimhen? Can he be the best? Potentially be the best striker in the league right now?
Yes.
I mean, again, we'll see.
He has the potential.
A healthy one.
Yep.
A healthy Osimhen has the potential. Yes. I don't know. Maybe Immobile might wake up a little bit more again this year. You know, confidence of winning the Euro. Still getting the service from Luis Alberto. Like besides Osimhen, like I'm keeping Immobile in that conversation, but that's just me personally. Okay.
The Calcio guys ask Osimhen Capocannoniere.
Yeah,
Osimhen Capocannoniere.
Very possible. Very possible. I think his name is in that list.
Well, so we begin with Venezia at home. It's going to be a fashion show. You know, you got the Armani versus the beautiful Venezia kits of Kappa, you know.
They're gorgeous. I'm sorry.
They're very gorgeous. They're very gorgeous. But did you see that? I think it was yesterday. Yesterday was their Coppa Italia match against Frosinone. Was it Frosinone? Yeah, it was Frosinone. They had to wear their kits without their badge because Venezia, it's their sponsor, basically the shirt sponsor is their own team, Venezia. You can't have your logo and the name of your team like flashing on the front of your kits. So you had to get rid of it. So they had to actually play without their logos, which is just
that's
a sidebar.
Ridiculous.
But anyway,
it is
pretty ridiculous. Yeah, it's stupid. However, you know, so Venezia gets by Frosinone by the skin of their teeth. Down, it was 0-0. They ended up going down 1-0 in the 93rd, and they ended up getting the equalizer in the 101st minute in extra time on a penalty kick by Di Mariano. And then they end up winning in penalties 8-7, so they progress to the next round of the Coppa Italia. But as the match to be the dress rehearsal to the debut in Serie A doesn't look too good. I mean, basically their starting lineup, I just checked the Gazzetta's like basically typical formation that they would line up in. You know, one reason why I do like Gazzetta, I don't like Gazzetta, but one reason I do is that they really do cover who's come in, who goes out, and what their lineup is going to look like. They always do that every year, and I love that. And basically, their lineup that they have projected here was almost the same as the lineup for the Coppa Italia match. So I think this is an accurate – if you want to look at it, it's on FootMob, but they have a bunch of names that I really don't know. Caldara is one of the names, maybe Ceccaroni also, in the defense that stands out. And then, honestly, the rest of the team just doesn't look like anyone I know. However, one of the substitutions was our very own former Vitale, Zerbin. And there was another player that was in here who, let's see, who was it? Jacopo Desi's here between these two teams. But basically, Venezia should be handled pretty well against Napoli. That's just a long-winded way of me saying I think Napoli start with a win, a big win, And yeah, it
doesn't look like the,
like this team should not get a point against Napoli at all. Like at all.
So the 11
that starts for Napoli for me is basically, I think, the same 11 that we saw start the Pescara friendly where we won 4-0. But what about you guys? What do you think?
Guys, before you continue, there was a picture of Venezia's third kit that came out. I just wanted to share it with everybody real quick. And there it is.
Carnevale.
There we are. I think they said that they're going to come out looking at something like this against Napoli on the 22nd.
Yeah, it's a lot of drip. You know, that is
super drip.
That's amazing.
Thank you guys for being
here. Buon Ferragosto to everybody out there, too.
Yes. Did you eat watermelon? My mom came to my house with a, "Yeah, you got to eat watermelon for Ferragosto." I was like, "Oh, okay." So
I had a watermelon moonshine. It was amazing.
Moonshine.
Yeah, man. Bits of watermelon in it. Oh yeah. It was amazing.
That sounds like fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, no, I mean, so Napoli begin against Venezia. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to ask for predictions because I know how we feel about that. But we should really start the season. Venezia and then Genoa on the road next week, which, by the way, mind you, the Genoa match will be live on CBS Sports Network for those in the States. It will also be on Paramount Plus, but we can watch that nationwide on CBS Sports Network, which is really, really cool. I'm in love with that.
Tide is on your side.
You better be on Napoli's side next weekend.
I expect a W, but I don't want to throw it out there because we've been disappointed before. So
right.
I'm like half keen about it, half like yeesh about it. You know,
we came out pretty good beginning last season. I think we should be all right.
We came out great last season.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like the team is – they're a little bit more prepped now. They got Spalletti there. It's not too big of a shift in formations and style. Maybe he's just adding, if anything, rather than kind of changing. He's just kind of adding on. And then I see Napoli coming out all right. Even with this whole Insigne stuff, I think Insigne is going to do even better because here's the deal. If – I said it last week, and I think – who was it? I got the name here. Gigi Di Canio was the old coach. He was saying how a player not having a contract, sometimes they tend to play a little bit harder because they're trying to earn something. So whatever Insigne does, I know he'll – I'm confident that he'll be a player on Napoli this next season. I'm not sure what he'll do with contracts. I'm not sure if he'll go anywhere after the season's over and he'll leave on a free – and if he does, that's fine. But I think he's going to be a big difference maker this year if he stays. And I think the team will do fine. And if we pick up that left back, I'm going to call Napoli a Scudetto contender. And that's it. That's and you can't change my mind. All right. But that's how I feel. And I think we'll be all right. Overall, a lot of people, you know, I was reading today, "Oh, I don't even want to watch this." Like, guys, everybody.
Oh, nobody, please.
Chill out. Like, please.
I don't have room for that.
There's too much pessimism, man. Just get your head out. We don't have to be pessimistic about Napoli.
There was that one person.
You don't have to be. And some of these guys, they're coming in like being – it's not even their name. They're trying to be like some type of news pundit. Don't do that shit. Just – if it's you personally, you want to say something, say it. You don't have to, like, pretend to be some kind of, like, you know, news outlet and then just shit all over the team. Like, it's not necessary. You can have your doubts. You can have your opinion. You can hate something. You can love something. But there's no reason to say I'm not watching this team.
No, what was said was – what was said was – no, let me tell you what was said. And
I'm not
like
calling
to
out names
out.
Because
– I would like to. I would like to because you know how much it pisses me off, man. You all got right, all you guys
we'll
know.
Cut out.
I'm not going to call his name out. But what was said was if we don't buy a left back, I'm not watching the match. I'm not watching the season. I couldn't care less. If we don't buy a left back, I understand it's an area of need. It's
screw
as if,
everything.
No, it's as if they were like, "Oh, if we don't get this big player, if we don't get Erling Haaland, I'm not watching Napoli anymore because we sold this person." I get it. we knew who Sai was leaving at the beginning of the mercato. We knew he was going for free. We knew we had to do what we have to do to make sure we had the areas of need covered. It didn't happen. But it's not like it was Insigne left, now we have to get a big player. It's not like Osimhen was sold, now we have to get a big player. It's not like we had to replace Koulibaly. We have to replace a left back. Yes, it's an area of need. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be invested in the product because of it. And I get I get it. Everyone can say, oh, well, you do a show, you do a podcast. Doesn't matter. I don't have to do this stuff. I can walk away from all of it. I'm still watching Napoli invested every single day. Don't sit there and tell me that you're a fan of the team, but you're not going to watch if we don't get an effing left back. That's a lot of bullshit. A lot of bullshit. Sorry.
Dave, just so you know, David, that's whatever my co-host just said is what we mean. We understand the need for a left back, but that doesn't mean we're not watching. You know what I mean? We're watching, no matter who comes and who doesn't comes to this team, whatever. But
I sat through Serie C. Okay,
don't get Rob started.
I went to San Paolo's for Serie C. Don't give me. I'm not watching the team if we don't get a left back. Who the hell do we think we are? So entitled to be like, oh, we need a left back. Oh, the hell out of here, man.
Was that a Kermit the Frog impression just now? We need a left back,
but that's none of my business.
All right. Well, listen, before we go, let's give a realistic idea of where you think we'll end up in the season without making it a prediction.
Champions League.
Where in the Champions League bracket? Where do we end up? Like what do we do? Because like I feel like, you know, is Osimhen going to be the capo cannoniere? Is it going to be close? Is our defense going to be great? Like what's the outlook? What's the total outlook of the team for this season? What do you guys think?
So you're asking for a non-prediction prediction.
Yeah, I'm asking for
like a feeling. Your feeling. You don't have to say second. You don't have to say first. But between maybe somewhere, you know, competing for second, third, competing for Scudetto, competing for the Champions League spot.
I far think in I'll Europe. Start off. I'll start off and I'll say top three I think is realistic. Yeah. I think top four I would take. But I think they should be competing for a top three spot.
How about in Europe?
In Europe, you know what? In all honesty, I think this is when you're in the Europa League, I think Napoli have to go for it. I think this is a competition that they should aim and make an objective, and I would like to see that. You know, I think last year we saw that to a certain degree. This year I would like to see it even more, though. You know, this year I think we really need to kind of push for it. I think last year we were, you know, dealing with injuries and battling with the whole situation that was going on with COVID and all that fun stuff. So last year was kind of a write-off. But I do think that has to be a trophy and an ambition for Napoli. Because truth be told, and unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever win a Champions League. But I think a Europa League is a realistic goal. And it's a competition that we can win. So it's something that I would love to see them go after. It really would be. I would take a fifth place finish in the season and a Europa League victory.
Yes, yes, because you're still in the Champions League next season. Yep. Johnny, I'll divert to you too. Now that the Europa League is more of a prestigious slash difficult slash more competitive competition, given the fact that the Europa Conference League is around now, weeding out all those smaller teams, and this is something that I've come to learn and will release an article about pretty soon before the season starts. What do you think about our chances in Europe? What do you think about, you know, where we finish in the table? What are your predictions? Well, predictions, not really. What's your feeling?
That was, I think,
Johnny.
I think Johnny froze.
That was to Johnny. Oh, did he freeze?
But in the perfect position.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that guy. like he's getting serviced, right? Something. But okay.
Yeah, that's a perfect picture. I think Johnny's
frozen.
Oh, guys. Guys, sorry, listening on the podcast, I'm going to make sure this gets put on our Twitter account.
We got to screenshot this one, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening.
You got that, what? Rafa? You screen.
I'm working on it right now.
Okay. That's gonna be his new display picture.
There he is.
Oh, he's back. He's back.
Am I back? Am I good?
Yeah, bro. He's back.
It was okay.
Johnny went to another dimension. His
alternate. I ascended, basically. Realistically speaking, look at it. If Napoli's fully healthy, everything goes well and smooth. It's smooth sailing all the way. By the time the African Cup comes.
Dang. Lost him again.
Now he's trying to give me some.
It's not as cool, though.
It's not as cool, but it's just as incriminating.
Is it? We're good?
All right.
Given the African Cup of Nations is coming, that's
But if they make it through without any bumps in the road, I see us finish. I'm going to go with actual prediction. I see us finishing second, and I see us making Europa League semis. I don't think we have just enough to actually win that Scudetto, as I mentioned before, but we're going to be back into the conversation for sure.
Well, listen, if we go to the Europa League semis, can we lose to a team that's better than Dnipro? That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, like, if we lose to, like, let's say, I don't know if somehow...
I don't know, Sevilla or, like, you know, a team that's won 18 of them, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be a lot better with that.
Or you're, like, a Champions League favorite that just so happened to finish third in their group and just drop down.
Ajax or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, I would be okay with that because it's like, okay, well, it's like Roma with Manchester United this year. It's like, okay, it's Man U. Like, you can't really be pissed. And especially that game, you know, there were just injuries left, right, and center. I think there was, like, three injuries in that one game alone. So, like for me, it's like, if it's a loss like that, like, okay, it happened. Like, to a top team like that, sure, I wouldn't be pissed. But I think, honestly speaking, if I'm just going to give a number, second this year, back in Champions League, Europa League semifinal, you know what? Coppa Italia final. Let's go for it. I'm going bold. I'm going to go tomorrow, make the bids on some kind of betting website.
Hold on. I forget. You're a dual citizen here. You're a Napoli-Roma guy.
Yeah.
Is Napoli playing Roma in the Coppa Italia final? And if so, is Napoli winning that? Because you said final. Are you sitting here telling me that Roma's going to beat Napoli in the Coppa Italia final? Because you think
I think Mourinho's goal, honestly speaking, I think Mourinho's goal is to win this first ever European Conference League title. I think that's him. His goal is to make Roma top four. And
if it's if that's not a Tottenham Roma final, I don't know what's going on.
I don't want to lose to a Wi-Fi password team, as we like to say here with my buddies. But also, I think Mourinho's goal for Roma this year is to finish top four again because a healthy Zaniolo is important for Roma. They got some good pieces so far. I honestly think Roma themselves, and they got rid of deadweight with Dzeko. I think their goal is to win that Europa
Conference League,
Conference League, and finish top four in Italy. In Coppa Italia, if they make the finals, cool. But I don't see them. I see them probably losing in the semis to like a team that's like in the semis to like maybe like a Atalanta or a Juve. I don't see them making it to the final.
Napoli Atalanta final Coppa
Italia. That'd be pretty sick. That would be nice.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Rafa, I got a little answer here. I'm not going to make a prediction. I just want to just say one thing because I've been dealing with it all week. I see a little bit of animosity in the chat going back and forth. Everybody has their opinion about this Napoli this year, about whether we're getting that left back. I mean, it's not over. We still got a couple weeks. It might come down to the wire. Some people are being pessimistic. Some people are being a little more optimistic. But I'm just going to say this much. For those of you being pessimistic, for those of you being really hard on Napoli, just remember that energy come time towards the end of the season. If we do hit that top four or we do win a trophy or you do see this team doing well, just remember that energy. Don't come back here or Twitter or wherever you are and start saying, look at this team on fire. This guy's the man. Listen, this love, this loyalty for our team comes without conditions. And our president is not perfect, but he's trying. This team is not perfect, but we're trying. We are building and building and building for possibly a bright future. So if you want to look at this game, at this team, at this tournament, and this lifestyle, pessimistic and negative and beating yourself all the time, listen, stress yourself out. That's your life. Live it. Enjoy it. But remember that energy when we are winning trophies, when we are doing well. Don't forget this day. Don't forget this time. And I see my Napoli doing well next year. I have confidence in this team. No matter what, whether I want a trophy, we all want a trophy. It's obvious. Hey, we all want the tripletta, sure. But more importantly, I'm happy that I can turn on the TV, watch our team on a major network in the top tier of the Serie A league. That's what makes me the most happiest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as long as we can stay there, I'm good. But win the Europa League.
So if David Peluso is, if David Peluso is still with us, I'm just looking at the comments now. I haven't been seeing it. I really want to say something to you, man. Like, I don't know where you think Napoli are worse off than last year when they've got a manager who's got more, I don't know, experience, credibility, tactics wise is a lot better than Gattuso was, the same energy, and only really got rid of Husai and Maksimovic. Husai, everyone knows, was leaving. Maksimovic was dead weight in the center back position all last year. Like, I don't understand how we got worse. Even if we do bring up a couple of the kids to cover in the midfield for the time that Deme's out, and even if we are starting Politano over Lozano for a couple of weeks because of the injury, and even if, you know, we don't get our left back, I don't know how we're worse than last year. I just don't understand that. And I had to bring that up because I saw it. I respect if you have a credible answer to my question, but I don't think we've gotten worse, because you can't get worse than losing 8 out of 11 starters simultaneously. If we are healthy all season long, there's no way we're worse than we were last year. If anything, we're much better than we were last year. You understand? So I think you need to take into perspective that just because we weren't inactive in the transfer window doesn't mean that we're worse than we were last year. You know, it's not like Inter signed Lukaku this year. They got rid of him. It's not like Juve signed Ronaldo this season. They only signed one player. You know, they might get Locatelli, fine. But, you know, it's not like, you know, Mourinho's in Roma, but we all know how Mourinho's been doing. Milan didn't really get that much stronger. Atalanta's actually, you know, for me, they're going to be on a decline this season, if you ask me. Like, I don't know where you think we're a lot less in quality from last season. Again, you have an Insigne coming off a Euro 2020 win, and off the best season of his career on the international game and with Napoli. And let's face it, he's going to stay. If you have all these elements working for us, we might have lost Marco, and we're firing on all cylinders, we're much better than we were last season. Sorry, I just had to chime in with that.
The closing out of that. Guys, let's get a big Forza Napoli going in the chat. I'm sorry, we were almost out of here with Marco completely, but big thank you to Marco Cubani. Be sure to check him out on Twitter. He's at Cubani_, I believe. Marco.
Yes.
So check him out there. Always good to have him back from the from his little vacation away and posting again. Oh, there he is. Hey, Marco, I was just giving you a shout out. I was giving your
The music.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. If you want to plug yourself real quick, I was doing it for you, but please go right ahead.
@Cubani_ is the new Twitter handle. So that's the big thing there. And then @StereoCity, we're still kicking around. You can get at us there. @Soccer360 magazine. You'll see all my writing in the magazine every month, I think it is, bi-monthly, whatever it comes out. And far from Vesuvius with the Napoli crew. And yeah. Shout out to Napoli Club Toronto, because I know they're around as well. So shout out to them.
Sweet. Johnny, talk to us. Where can we find you?
Well, as you saw before, you could find me at my personal is @JannyRules27. Rules is RULZ. It's my thing from when I was a kid. It's always been that way. But I also do a podcast with my good friend Adriano, my cousin Nicholas. It's called The Calcio Guys. You can see it us commenting in the chat. It's @TheCalcioGuys. That's the same handle on Twitter, Instagram, Forza Napoli per sempre. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook with the same handle.
Sweet, guys. Sweet. Oh, man. I believe that's a wrap, guys. Rafa, great show as well.
Yes, yes. As, you too,
as
Rafa
always,
boy.
Man. Looking forward next week, guys. Michael Key, thank you right here, guys. Thank you.
Yes, we will be with you for the post-match for Napoli-Venezia, first match of the season. Right, Ralph?
Yes, certainly.
Post-match.
More than likely. Post-match.
And then again on Monday night.
And again Monday night, we're rocking and roll. We're back in the season, baby. I can't
wait,
we're
back
guys.
In the swing of things.
Yes,
here we are.
We are here, guys. Thank you again to everybody in the chat for joining us. Be sure to give us a like, give us a subscribe, and a share. We love y'all. And Forza Napoli sempre, guys.
Siamo qui, baby. Siamo qui. Forza Napoli sempre.
We'll see you guys soon, man. Take care.